T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
With the third pick, the Blackhawks are proud to select from the Saskatoon Blades, Kirby Dach.
Pass gets through. Here's a breakaway possibility for Dach, moving in, back, headshot, scores! Oh, what a pretty goal! Kirby Dach.
You know, I watched him close. I really fell in love with his game. You know, he brings so much to the table. I think the thing that really was impressive was his competitiveness down the stretch. He showed not only does he have the size and the skill, the talent to make plays and do the offensive things that you hope a top player to do, but he was so competitive in the playoffs, and he's a hard guy to play against. That combination of size, speed, skill, intensity, it's hard to find those guys.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Thanks for hanging out. McNeil and Parkin's on The Score. Mac is out today. Shep is in. And Mac will be devastated as the big Hawks fan that he is to not
be here.
Yeah. Yep, the Hawks, that he doesn't get a chance to meet their third overall pick, Kirby Dach, to make all of us feel old. Born in 2001, 18 years old. We appreciate you coming in studio, man. How you doing today?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, guys.
So you then picked third overall. You don't remember Eddie Olczyk as a player then. You only know Eddie Olczyk as a broadcaster, don't you, in your hockey memories.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're supposed to be the young guys around here, Parko. What the heck's going on?
I know. I definitely am feeling old. So what's life like? You get picked third overall. It's a dream come true. From the moment you get selected through now, what's life been like?
Yeah, after I kind of heard my name be called by Stan, I don't remember anything after that. I had to go back and watch some stuff on my phone and through the internet. It was a blur, and it happened so quick. And then flew home from Vancouver the day after the draft, and then flew to Chicago the next day. And now I've been just kind of hanging out and touring around the city and meeting people and then looking at the facilities, and it's been awesome so far.
So have you gotten to see any of the city, or is it all just meet and greets and shaking hands and kind of kissing babies thing so far?
Yeah, it's kind of just the meet and greets type of thing.
So you've been no scouting of neighborhoods, not looking for the future location or residence or anything yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Well, tonight he's going to Wrigley. He's leaving here, and you're going to Wrigley Field. Have you been to Wrigley before?
No, I've never been to Chicago. This is my first time here.
Oh, first time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so if you need any questions or tips for us, you know, you can turn it on you. I know you've been getting interviewed all day, so do you have any questions about the city?
No, I've pretty
you haven't
much
figured out
all.
So far. Will's showing you a good time.
Yeah, Will.
He's keeping you out of trouble.
Will and John, yeah, they're doing a good job.
All right, well, so are you nervous for throwing out the first pitch?
A little bit. I don't really get nervous, but this I'm a little nervous for. I've just seen so many bad ones. I just don't want that to be me.
Yeah, don't be 50 Cent or something like that.
The girl threw it at the camera the other day.
Yeah, exactly. And that happened on the south side. So are you going to go up to the mound?
Yeah.
Okay. So you must not be too worried about it, because when I threw it out one time, it wasn't here, but I bounced it, and I need another chance so badly because I
need redemption. Eh?
I need redemption, man. Yeah. I walked up to the mound. I was told not to. I got up on the rubber and I bounced it, and it went to the backstop. And I haven't lifted down. So just aim high. That'd be the one piece of advice for you.
Yeah, don't throw it too well though, because the Cubs might keep you around. They're struggling to get some people out with their starting staff lately. So don't throw it too well, because might be playing baseball before too long.
Okay, sounds good.
So, you know, tell Hawks fans about Kirby Dach, about your game, and whenever you get to the big club, what they can expect from you.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a strong 200-foot centerman who plays well at both ends of the ice. Has an elite playmaking abilities, and I like to play a hard and heavy game. I think I have tremendous hockey IQ and can kind of see the plays develop before they happen. And I'm going to be a player in the future that is going to be a driving force for this team, because I'm going to do everything in my power to bring a Stanley Cup here.
That was a good answer. When did you learn how to skate?
I think I started skating at 2 years old, two, three.
Man, so it's just in the family? I know you got a younger brother who's going to be a draft pick in a couple of years. So just hockey's been the thing you've done your whole life.
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't really done anything else other than eat, sleep, and breathe hockey.
So what's your what does that schedule look like? You know, like if, through your life of playing hockey, when are you doing it? Travel hours a day, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you're younger, it's a little bit more hectic because you got spring hockey and winter hockey, so you're always on the go 12 months of the year. But recently, it's kind of just been playing juniors, and then come home and you train 5 days a week, skate 5 days a week, and then you have your weekends off where I go to the lake and just kind of relax and spend the time with the family.
At the lake, you fish, boat, what do you like to do?
Fish, water ski, I hunt sometimes, so I mean, I just like to kind of put my phone away and get away from all that.
What do you like to fish?
I like to fish pickerel or perch.
All right, well, see, I think the guy who normally would be here is he goes up to Canada a couple of times a year. Yeah. He loves to fish. I basically know nothing about it, but mm-hmm. I'm telling you, hockey and fishing. The other host of the show, you guys would bond tremendously. Yeah. I have no idea. But so you're an outdoorsman away from hockey.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I love to be in the outdoors. I
saw that one of the things that you did when you were a youngster was that you'd sleep in your hockey helmet because you loved the hockey and you loved the game that much. When's the last time you did that? Right before the draft?
No, I haven't done it recently at all. I mean, that was probably when I was little, like 5, 6, 7 was probably the last time I did that.
Okay. Well, didn't like use it as a superstition or something before draft night?
No, it's not a superstition.
So you say you put your phone away.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. What's the trick to that? Because I struggle with it, and I'm much older than you and supposed to be much more disciplined.
There's not great service at the lake, so it kind of just does it for me.
So it makes it easy. How many text messages do you get when you're the third overall pick from the Hawks?
I killed my phone real quick. It was dead right away, so I didn't look at it for a couple hours because I was busy doing a lot of media stuff afterwards. Once I got it and opened it up, it was over 100 for sure. I mean, it just had to kind of scroll through and the next day and make sure I texted everybody back and thank them for their support.
Who is the person you were most surprised seeked out your number to congratulate you?
There's some numbers I didn't even have in my phone that text me, and you're kind of like, thanks, I guess. You know, you don't know who they are, but yeah.
They're not asking you for money or anything,
no,
are they?
No. Nobody's
not
asking
yet,
for
anyway.
Money. I hope not.
Yeah, no, it'll come at some point. Kirby Dach, the third overall pick of the Hawks, in studio with us. But yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy thing in hockey, and it's happening. It happens in all sports where you're now a pro at 18 years old and you're expected to, you know, be mature, handle the spotlight, handle a pro contract, the travel, and all of the expectations. What allows you to have confidence that you're ready for all of that?
I think just playing junior away from home really helped me mature as a young man and kind of taught me how to be on my own a little bit, because you don't have your parents there to kind of do everything for you. I mean, I had to learn to cook and clean and make sure my room was tidied up all the time, and I did learn how to do laundry and all that types of stuff. So, I mean, it kind of teaches you a little bit of the life away from hockey.
Should take Danny with you and give him some lessons on cooking.
I was going to say, I don't know how to do any of those things.
It's the nicest shirt that he owns, actually, right now, that you're looking at right now.
It's a good shirt,
Shep. It is.
Yeah,
it is a good shirt.
Thank you very much. This is really cotton. This is, if there was 110% cotton, that's what this shirt would be. So you are mature, 18 years old. Who was your favorite hockey player growing up?
No, I didn't really have a favorite hockey player. I just kind of liked to watch a couple guys. I mean, you grow up idolizing like Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Steven Stamkos, like all those guys that kind of broke into the league when I was 8, 9, 10 years old and kind of just grew up watching them. Pavel Datsyuk was another guy I really liked to watch when I was little.
It's absurd.
It's not. I grew up all watching and idolizing Sidney Crosby. It's like I was graduating college when Sidney Crosby was in his rookie and second years in the league.
Have you had a chance to talk and meet Toews and Kane yet?
I mean, they just kind of texted me and called me after the draft and just said welcome to Chicago and the organization. That's pretty much it.
Is it surreal having those guys have your phone number?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you kind of grow up and you're playing road hockey or mini sticks with your buddies and you're like, oh, I'm Jonathan Toews, oh, I'm Patrick Kane. Now I'm kind of sitting in a locker room looking over at him, asking him things. So, I mean, that part of it's pretty surreal.
Do you think you'll be starstruck in any way in that type of situation?
Maybe like the first day, a little bit shy and quiet around him, but other than that, I shouldn't be too starstruck.
So I heard you were getting questioned from kids earlier today, right? Doing one of the media things. What's the toughest question a kid asked you?
They asked me what I needed to do to get better. They asked me a lot of hard questions. One asked me why I love the game. There's a couple other ones that were pretty tricky.
They're going to take my job. what do you need to do? What do you need to improve on?
I think just adding a little bit more size. I think I'm tall enough to kind of play that big, heavy game I want to play, but just being a little bit thicker and stronger in my skates.
What kind of time frame are you looking at to put on the additional weight, the additional strength?
I think one or two summers will do it. I mean, I push myself pretty hard in the gym and want to be at the next level as quick as I can, so I'm going to do everything in my power to kind of get there.
How much have you grown, or how much have you kind of filled out in the last year or two even? And I know it's like 16, 17 years old is
yeah.
a huge point of that, but how much have you kind of grown in that time?
Yeah, obviously, I think I was 6'2 and maybe 170 when I kind of started playing junior, and now I'm 6'4, 200 pounds, so it was only 2 years that way, so I need to, another year and a year and a half, I should be at my playing weight and being able to play against men.
Do you have a goal on when you'll be with the Hawks?
As a pro athlete, I think you always strive to be at the top level as quick as you can, so I'm going to do everything in my power to kind of make that decision tough on Stan and Mark and Jeremy to send me back to junior, and I want to prove that I can play at this level right away.
Well, bro, you've got this side of the game taken care of. These are very mature answers for an 18-year-old. Kirby Dach, the third overall pick of the Blackhawks. So, all right, you're born in 2001. Let's get to know you a little bit. Favorite movie?
I like all the Star Wars movies. I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Originals or the new ones?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. Okay, which
even Phantom Menace? Like even episodes like 1 and, yeah, and
all,
2?
Yeah, I've seen them all.
Darth Maul?
Yeah, I have them all.
Jar Jar Binks didn't scare you away?
No, Jar Jar Binks didn't scare you.
Okay, do you have a favorite?
No, I just like them all.
Okay, we like all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. What favorite character?
I always liked Darth Vader.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Likes being the nemesis.
Yeah.
All right. What about music? Favorite music?
Music. I like country music. Love country music.
Okay.
Favorite artist?
I like Luke Bryan, Thomas Rhett, Blake Shelton.
All right. So how did you like get into that? Do you any musical background or
no,
anything like that?
Just kind of growing up in Western Canada, it's a little bit more country, and there's a lot of country influence out there and farms and that stuff. So it kind of relates back to that kind of music. And I just feel like country music has got so many different vibes to it. I mean, there's happy, sad, you know, love songs. Anything that you could think of has country music in it.
Yeah, it all goes back to the lake. Love spending time at the lake and country music. Nothing fits it better.
Exactly.
All right, what about favorite TV show?
I like the show Suits.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's on Netflix or Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're Netflix and chilling. You're streaming. Not a Game of Thrones guy?
I haven't watched. I've been told many times to watch Game of Thrones. I haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah, step it up to the HBO dramas. Yeah. There's a level of...
He can enjoy Suits and everything else for now. Everyone has to be on your level there, Parky.
I'm just saying you can step it up to the HBO dramas. I'm telling you, there's a world beyond them out there. But those are good shows as well. Personal goals for your professional career. I know you said Stanley Cup. Everyone wants to win a Stanley Cup. But what are individual goals for you?
I don't really have any individual goals set. I just want to be the best player I can be at all times and strive for that. And I mean, when you have team success, it breeds individual success. So I'm just kind of worried about doing whatever it takes to kind of help the Blackhawks win and get back to the playoffs.
Obviously, the level of competition skyrockets when you get to the NHL. What do you need to learn about playing in the NHL once you get to that level and the day-to-day of that versus playing in juniors?
I think it's just the pace of play. I mean, everybody knows what it is and how fast the game is now, but you don't really truly understand until you get there and play with those guys and practice with them daily. So to kind of be able to do that and learn that right away will be huge for my career. I got to learn how to adjust from juniors to pro.
Well, there's Hawks fans listening right now. They were excited about the pick. So what do you want to say to Hawks fans as they get ready to watch your development?
Yeah, I think just thank you for welcoming me to the city, and I can't wait to kind of step on the ice and show you guys what I got.
Well, Kirby, congratulations, man. We'll have you on the show again soon, and good luck with everything, and don't bounce it tonight, all right?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
All right, that's Kirby Dach, the third overall pick of the Chicago Blackhawks. Shep is in for Mac. We're hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Howdy do, fellow kids.
I want everyone to just for a moment think about where they were and who they were when they were 18 years old. Thank you to Kirby Doc and the Blackhawks for making that interview possible. Kid has been doing media since 7:30 this morning, said he had a one-hour break at 2:30. He's going to Wrigley tonight to throw out the first pitch. He was born in January of 2001, so he is 18 and a half years old, third overall pick from the Chicago Blackhawks, grew up when he was 8-10 years old watching Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews. I was a freshman in college who had just lost my virginity, just smoked pot for the first time, and couldn't feel my knees, elbows, shoulders, like literally felt like I had no joints because I didn't know how to compose myself. And my grades were really good first semester freshman year, and it was just a steady arrow down as I got more involved in radio and partied more and more throughout college. My grades was just a straight arrow down throughout the rest of college. Like, I just can't imagine the poise, the spotlight, the pressure, the money, like the little bit of fame that comes with it, but a ton of fame in his life. I mean, growing up in Canada, hockey family. Athletes are amazing, man. They really, really are. Sometimes the negative headlines are the things that get the most clicks and the most headlines and most attention from people like us. But that kid was incredible.
Yeah, he really was. It's absurd. Like, I think back to being 18, what's the biggest decision you make around that age? Mine was deciding where I was going to go to college. And it was like every day, oh, I'm going to go here. Nope, I'm going to go here. Couldn't make a decision. Finally made a decision like in April when all my friends had made the decision weeks and months before me. It's like, oh, I couldn't commit to that. I don't know. I just got too nervous thinking about that. This kid's uprooting his entire life, moving from Canada down to well, hopefully here soon in Chicago, and has been not only going to do that, but been doing it, playing juniors and traveling nationally, internationally with all of that. For being 18 years old, kid seen a lot of the world, and I think it kind of showed there.
Yeah, you just think about it, like my big pressures were right that I had experienced through 18. Spinal fusion surgery, decent thing.
Took away your hockey career, probably.
Sure.
That's why you didn't go third overall.
You know, standardized tests were big pressure back then, getting into college.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was a caddy and worked at a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a completely different frame of mind to put yourself in. And there's guys obviously who have way more pressure and way more notoriety than that, right? I mean, think about LeBron James at 18. And
yeah.
So you can extrapolate it up, but that stuff's just impressive to me, man. I think we overlook it far too often and remember that, like, that kid's got to have just saucers for eyes right now. First time ever being in Chicago, Patrick Kane is texting him. He's throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley. Like, that's just a crazy whirlwind for someone who's 18 years old.
Yeah, 18, and he's handling it seemingly better than okay. Handling it like it's just, oh, yeah, knew I was going to get drafted. Knew I was going to go relatively high and knew whoever got me is going to get, hopefully, what's a franchise-changing player or somebody that helps lead a team to a Stanley Cup in the not-so-distant future.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the 17th-ranked Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. All right, we got a ton of baseball audio to go through here that ranges from the absurd and enraging to downright dismissive to potentially hilarious. So let's start with that. This is our old friend John Rooney on the call with Mike Shannon when Albert Pujols makes his triumphant return with the Angels to the Cardinals.
Albert Pujols is coming up to the plate to another standing ovation at Busch Stadium as we play in the seventh inning. The Cardinals have a 4-0 lead after a two-run homer by Marcelo Ozuna. Dakota Hudson with a pitch count of 100, working in the seventh inning with a 4-0 lead. The right-hander's pitch, Pujols hits a drive, deep left field, and that's a home run to the Angels' bullpen. Thunderous ovation for Albert Pujols, who just hit his second career home run against the Cardinals. And these fans want a curtain call. There it is. Tip of the batting helmet to the fans at Busch Stadium, and you just don't see them.
First time ever.
With a visiting player, and the home run, the curtain call, and then Albert tipping the cap. He drilled it.
Went into their bullpen, and they'll keep that one.
Mike Shannon okay?
Someone cut an onions up there?
My goodness. Albert, quite the sniffles. I guess it's better to be tearing up over Albert Pujols hitting the home run than it is to be mispronouncing every other Cubs name that steps into the batter's box whenever the Cubs and Cardinals meet up.
Well, it's allergy season. You know, he could just be. Is it though?
I thought that was more of like an early spring and later fall thing. Well, who knows what the way this weather's been?
I have no idea. Crying over Albert Pujols.
Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. It's just so emotional.
You ever been brought to tears like that for a sporting event with something?
No.
You tear up a little when the Cubs won it all?
No.
No?
I was too old.
Were you?
I was 30.
He's 32.
Wasn't going to cry.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. I was happy, but it didn't hit me. Like, I have not cried over sports as an adult. I cried when Michael Jordan retired. That was devastating.
The first time or second time?
Well, the first time. And then I cried when he unretired. So I cried tears of
did you
sadness.
Cry when Big Game Tom brought you to the Cubs Sox game and sat in right field?
I did
and
not.
And you saw Jordan hit the double down the left field line?
I did not. No. I was happy. That was a very exciting time. But no, I did not cry in that spot.
Like, that's a cool moment. Like, that's an awesome moment, and I'll make fun of the St. Louis Cardinals and whatnot for as much as anyone. But that is, how often do you get to see that? Albert Pujols, who, yes, that contract, it's played out exactly how everyone said it would when it was signed back in, late 2011 before the 2012 season? Imagine Albert Pujols 8 years, 9 years from now, and that's what you're at. You're with an Albert Pujols that still has a little bit of pop. Doesn't do a whole heck of a lot else for you, but it is a cool moment of, all right, this is a guy that had his hands on the Cardinals winning two World Series in his run there, and they don't win them without him being a part of that team. And he won multiple MVPs and for a while was the best right-handed hitter in all of baseball, the most feared hitter in all of baseball. And you get to see him come back in the weird case that it is of the interleague side of it, of the Angels haven't played there in 8 years or whatever it's been, and that's Pujols' first time as a visitor to St. Louis this long later. That kind of allows for time to heal the wounds of him leaving with the contract and the big money in L.A. and makes everyone notice of, all right, yeah, he's not like an enemy because he left for the big dollars. He's a guy that helped us win a ton, played as well as anyone in the league at the time, and he's back here, and here's a tip of the cap and appreciation. I thought it was a cool moment. Now, I don't know about tear-worthy, but it was pretty cool.
You were disappointed that my wife didn't cry when she met the Otters.
I was, because the way you had hyped it up and saying that, I don't, what was it that the experience that you guys had? Was there a different one with animals?
She cried when we saw a panda at the San Diego Zoo. So yeah, Shep and me and his wife and my wife went to the Shedd Aquarium for the behind-the-scenes otter experience yesterday. And I will say that the whole thing, the whole experience has been very humbling, honestly. Like, you know, I think...
Humbling?
I'll tell you why it's been humbling. Because...
Seeing an otter behind the scenes is humbling.
Not the whole experience. Because... Shep, I was able to get tickets to the Cubs World Series,
mm-hmm.
face value. I was able to get tickets to take my parents to see the Rolling Stones, face value.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
I usually am pretty good at getting a reservation in this town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, with this job, let's be honest, there are some privileges that come with it, right? If you're willing to spend some money on something, they're pretty much willing to help you out. I couldn't get tickets when it went on sale for this damn VIP behind-the-scenes Meet the Otter experience. I tried twice, but the second time, and I never even told you this, I put in the anniversary card to my wife. I wrote a note that's like, we're going to go see the otters. My wife loves animals and she loves otters. And so I was like, I'm going to get us tickets, you know, to see it. So I promised a gift that I didn't have, because when they were going on sale the second time, I had the alarm set mm-hmm. in my phone with the reminder. So I'd be logged in online, tickets go on sale, 10 a.m. I'm going and I'm buying them.
Yeah, you just didn't know that this otter thing was like trying to buy Bears playoff tickets. The second they go on sale, they're out before you can blink.
And I got sports hookups and I got Soldier Field hookups. And
previous to this past week, you didn't have an otter hookup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it was humbling. And so when we talked about the hottest ticket in town being the otters, I was praying for someone to slide into my DMs and help me out, and now we got a shed guy and a shed girl.
Give me something.
We are now hooked up at the shed, and it was huge, but it was so humbling, because it's like, I just want to pay the $40 a person to go behind the scenes mm-hmm. for the, and I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't throw money at the problem, and so I had to use the power of the microphone. I don't do that for anything, and I did it here, and it worked out. And so it was very humbling to like remind yourself, like, yeah, you can't get every ticket. You can't get every reservation. You can't see the damn otters. And then, yeah, my wife, she did not cry, but she was very, very happy. And so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think everybody, you get to spend time with an otter, play with an otter for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever we were in that back room with the otter with. That makes your day better. I think just by default. Those are some damn fun animals.
It was fun, right?
A little bunch, yes. Yeah. You start feeding an otter some fish and some shrimp, and the otter is entertained and thrilled by it and thought it was great. It was so fun. And then they pulled out a skunk. Who knew that there were skunks at the Shedd Aquarium?
We met a skunk. That's true. And I will say, if you go to my Instagram page, Danny Parkins One on Instagram, it was four people behind the scenes meeting the otters. And I was just standing closest, so the lady's taking our pictures, and like you sit on a stool, and then there's a plane of glass that's see-through, and then the otter comes up and is trained to come up on their little stool, and so it's like you and the otter on the same level, and they take the picture as if you're sitting right next to the otter. So I take the picture, then my wife takes the picture, then your wife takes the picture, and then it's Shep's turn to take the picture next to the otter, and the series of pictures is so funny because the otter is looking at Shep with like a bewildered, like he's scared. He's like, huh? Like mouth agape, big eyes. And then you just see the otter running away. He ran away from you. And the series of pictures is actually fairly hilarious.
I think it's safe to say that the otter was a little awestruck.
Yeah, I mean, he was intimidated to be in your presence.
Wasn't a huge deal seeing Danny Parkins. Wasn't a huge deal seeing Steph or Ashley. But when he saw me, that otter was like, oh man, that's the Nick Szepkowski?
Yeah.
I can't beat it. Oh, I'm too nervous. I gotta go dive in the water. That's what happened.
And that's what happened. And so the otter ran away. And yeah, we got to meet the otters. And so it was an interesting weekend, because I was able to make my parents' weekend with the Stones tickets on Friday, and was able to make my
couple of extremes. Right.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
It's like, man, the Rolling Stones on Friday night, and everything that went into that entire day and night, I'm sure was one level. And I was like, oh, a nice, calm little Sunday morning, and we're going to go hang out with some otters in a back room at the Shedd Aquarium.
And people are like, oh, Parkins, you sound like a tool. It's not humbling. A, part of this, I hope you can tell, is tongue-in-cheek. But B, my wife legitimately loves animals. They make her so happy. We were in Europe. We had been to, you know, Paris and Barcelona, and she's hanging out on the bed, and she's going through Instagram at the end of the day. She sees the baby hippo that was born at the Lincoln Park Zoo on their Instagram account, and she's like, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I'm like, we were just at the Sagrada Familia. We just were at the Van Gogh Museum. We just were at the Eiffel Tower. We just were at the Louvre.
Why pay for a trip to Europe when you can just walk down the street to Lincoln Park? Like,
you just called the baby hippo the greatest thing you've ever seen. So making my wife that happy and having to call in that favor, yeah. I was happy to do it, and I was thrilled to experience it with you and your lovely bride.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, it was a legit fun, and I am much like your wife, Steph. I didn't know this until I kind of got to know my wife. She has the same love for animals.
They're very similar.
And she brought that out of me. I didn't realize how much I liked animals until seeing her with her pets at her house and that. And I'm like, man, yeah, the animals seem kind of cool. I kind of missed this whole stage of being a youth and getting a dog and whatever else when you're a youngster. Like, this is kind of badass.
Well, and you then, guys kept talking about saying that the otter
looks
like your dog.
It looks like my dog. Their faces look similar. I kid you not. Their eyes are the same structure, the same shape, and their faces, like, they look legit the same. My dog just has a little bit longer hair than the otter does, or at least it presents itself.
It's just more of a dog than it is an otter.
Well, yeah, it's more of a dog than it is an otter. It doesn't so much, you know, it doesn't have the pocket to stuff the shrimp in or the ice cubes in, the tricks that they were showing us.
Yeah,
so it's a spider more than it is a snake.
Exactly. So Shep and I and our wives had a lovely animal experience.
You're on to something, though. We have a shed person. We have shed people. A man and a woman both. We have shed people.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a museum in town that you want to have a person at or people at, I think we knocked it out of the park. The shed is, to me, that's your number one. That's your Zion in this draft. If you're doing a Chicago museum draft, it's the shed, and it's not even close.
Yeah, no question about it. The shed is amazing. Man, I was a tourist in my own town this weekend. Felt good, didn't it? Was that the Stones?
Don't always have to hop on a plane to go find something new, do you?
It was great. It was at the Stones Friday night, went to Al Cheval on Saturday, and then the shed to meet the Otters on Sunday. I was a tourist. You just needed a selfie stick.
That's right. You know, you did the Lakeshore path as well when you walked back, you were saying?
I was so happy that I didn't see anybody from the station because I was just down here by the building. Not that mm-hmm. you often run in. It's not an episode of Seinfeld. But didn't have an umbrella. Got caught in that downpour. Just soaked.
I will tip my cap to my wife on this one when we were leaving the house. She said, "Where's your umbrella?" I said, "Well, you have one, and it's not supposed to rain anyway. It's going to rain. Take the damn umbrella." Okay, I'll take the umbrella, and not, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes after we leave the shed and we're walking back trying to find some breakfast or find some brunch, and the skies just open up, and I look at her and say, "Thanks for making me take that umbrella. You know a thing or two."
Yeah, they do. I said to my wife that we didn't need one because we were just Ubering and then going to be inside. And, the joy that she had of meeting the otter that was downtrodden after I told her not to be in the sun. Yeah, you know.
It's all right.
It goes quick.
You went through, it was even for the day.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, just keep showing her pictures of her with the otter and the excitement that she had in that and try to get her mind off of the rain that poured all over her.
That I was apparently responsible
that's
for.
That's right, because you told the weather gods and you told Mother Nature to rain on that parade.
Baseball almost went a full week without a moment of gross stupidity and hypocrisy, but they couldn't quite do it. We've got the audio to prove it next on The Score.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Young player doing all that stuff, all the jewelry and all the stuff.
That was about Ronald Acuna. Pirates broadcasters had a problem with him with all the jewelry and all the stuff. We've had a netting controversy. We've had a bat flip controversy. Feels like every other week or so, there's some sort of old school, new school, fun v. no fun debate that happens in baseball. The latest involved Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays when he was facing the Red Sox, and this one had just a nice dab of hypocrisy thrown in the form of Dennis Eckersley, the broadcaster of the Red Sox.
Time now for our high-strength steel play brought to you by the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado.
The last pitch.
Yep.
big scream toward the Red Sox dugout, and then takes off for his dugout. Happy that he pitched well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it. You know, but when he's turning around to the opposing dugout,
that's tired.
And maybe this doesn't matter when you're sizing up that reaction from Stroman, but does he do that to every opponent if he has that kind of game?
I don't know. I mean, I've said before, he's an excitable guy. He's a competitive guy. I can't imagine the Red Sox are the only team that he does it to. I mean, I don't see him. I don't watch him on TV a lot and see him pitched against other clubs, but I know there's a lot goes on between him and the Red Sox dugout all the time.
Yeah, I think he probably does it to a lot of teams, but
I think there's something especially there with the Red Sox.
But he's got a little shimmy he does when he punches guys out, and he's got a little dog in him. He really got a lot of showman in him, whatever you want to call it.
He's also a very talented pitcher.
Yeah, a very emotional kid, probably. Yeah.
He's probably a guy that was on your club, you'd love him. But when you see stuff like that, it kind of really ticks you off.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't hate everything that was said there.
I don't hate everything that was said, but Dennis Eckersley forgetting what he did when he was a pitcher.
Sure.
I don't know if you saw it. I don't think we have it. I apologize, Taney, if we do.
The George Brett thing?
Yeah.
I didn't like it when he would strike somebody out and shoot him as they're going back to dugout, or when he would do that thing with his hip when he would get the third out of a game. Drove me crazy. I hated him.
Am I supposed to wave to the guys going, how's your wife and kids? I had a chip on my shoulder. I didn't like who I played against.
I never doubted you, Chris Tannehill. I doubted my own memory. I knew you had it the whole time. But so that is an old ESPN classic thing of George Brett saying he hated Dennis Eckersley, and Dennis Eckersley being like, yeah, I would do the fist pump and I would do the gun motion like and shoot at him like after I got him out, because what, am I supposed to be friends with and like the guys? Of course, I hated them, they hated me, and that was how it was supposed to be. So that was Dennis Eckersley as a pitcher, and then when Marcus Stroman gets a big strikeout and he screams, it's tired.
When you see stuff like that, it kind of really ticks you off.
Yeah, I get it.
So that hypocrisy to me, it's the thing of the old generation that blames the new generation for like their music being bad.
Right. It's just we did the same thing when 25 years ago. However, I'm going to be upset about it now. Yeah, the hypocrisy is angering with that. But I don't hate the idea of it being somewhat of a, not an issue, maybe issues strong, but having a little bit of a problem with Marcus Stroman or whatever pitcher I might be celebrating and doing it towards your dugout. Like, I think there is a difference between a bat flip and celebrating in the moment and high-fiving teammates and having your, if it's the NFL, you have your touchdown celebrations. If it's baseball, sometimes you see like the, I don't know, the cool, the funny handshakes and whatever the celebratory things are after a home run, after the guy crosses home plate.
It's one thing
to celebrate it with your teammates or celebrate with your team. It's another thing. I do think there is a difference when you look directly at a dugout or scream at another dugout. I think both can be true. Like Dennis Eckersley can be entirely a hypocrite for this.
That's tired.
But I think there also can be a, all right, yeah, you're fine to celebrate, but you don't always have to do it towards someone. You can do it towards your team, high five towards them, celebrate towards them.
You're making a distinction between celebrating and taunting, right? That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you scream towards your dugout, it's celebration. If you scream towards their dugout, it's taunting. And I understand what you're saying, but I think at some point we're just parsing fun, right? And we're parsing emotion.
Like, right.
Emotion's good, fun is good. That type of emotion and fun, not so good. Yeah. Like if you don't like it, hit a homer off of him. Then he won't scream.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like Pedro Strop does that a lot. He gets an out to end the eighth inning, he gets out of a jam, and I know Sox fans were mad a couple years ago. He gets out of he escapes a jam and gets the Cubs out and helps them get through a victory. And I think it was Adam Eaton he might have gotten out to end an inning. And he does like 3 or 4 fist pumps on the mound, slams his hand in his chest. Oh, well, what's he showing up the opponent for? It's like, oh, he just got a couple of huge outs and got out of a jam unscathed and didn't allow any runs. He's not showing anybody up. He's purely celebrating right there. Like, I do think there is a little bit of a difference that we like to just kind of turn our heads to of, oh, well, yeah, just do something about it. Well, yeah, it's still, you want us to compete. You want players to be in the moment and and live and die like fans live and die with pitch by pitch and out by out. And yeah, it's gonna tick some people off if you're yelling in a dugout from time to time. There's gonna be a reaction to that.
Oh, if a Red Sox player was ticked, cool. When Dennis Eckersley does it, it reeks of hypocrisy. And a few times
he's got a little shimmy he does when he punches guys out.
Mark been doing his little shimmy. It makes the women here in Cleveland puke.
Oh, at the beginning it made him crazy, but then he was traded to the damn Southsiders. Texter's saying Eckersley not allowed to change his opinion with maturity. With all due respect, Dennis isn't allowed to change his opinion on things as he grows older. Multiple people sending in that sentiment. Of course he is, but I think then if you do that,
you have to point out that you were guilty of this 30 years ago.
That you, if you think that what Stroman did crossed over some line of sportsmanship, surely it would be impossible to argue that what Stroman did is worse than a gun motion to shoot a guy after you struck him out, right? Like, no one could argue that the scream
Correct.
Is worse than the... So you have to, in my opinion, if you're being fair, you got to say, listen, I did those things, and it was in the heat of the moment, and it was competitive, and it was bad sportsmanship, and I regret doing it, and I think that Stroman is doing the same, making the same mistake that I did. That would be a hell of a commentary. I would disagree with him because I like the thing that Eckersley did and I like the thing that Stroman did because I enjoy the personality and the trash talk and don't think that that has to result in a 95-mile-an-hour pitch hitting a slugger the next time. It could just anger you and fuel you and help with the rivalry, and you could talk trash to the media after the game. You could scream at him from the dugout and you could try to hit him the next time. But without that admission of that he did the exact same thing or quote-unquote worse, it just feels like old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, I think there's definitely Dennis Eckersley undeniably is completely, I mean, he avoids bringing up what he did throughout his career and what drove other hitters and opponents crazy with it, and he's completely hypocritical and all that. But I also kind of stand by what I said there of just, I wouldn't be thrilled necessarily of, okay, you got me out. Great, congratulations. You have 24 teammates to celebrate with. Why are you focusing on screaming at me or screaming at my dugout? You got a team full of guys that are wearing the same uniform as you. Why don't you embrace them, celebrate with them?
Big news in the NL Central. Jordan Hicks has torn his ulnar collateral ligament, so the Cardinals have lost their closer for the season. So obviously beneficial for the Cubs, but you never want to get to worry about that. Cardinals tears from Shannon with the return of Albert Pujols. But yeah, Jordan Hicks, torn UCL, out for the season. We have an update on the incident with the Mets and the media. And if you think it's going to be in the form of an apology, you are greatly mistaken. Plus, look ahead to really interesting series for both the Cubs and the Sox. Shep's in for Mac. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.